Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Psalm 2. And I read one verse as text verse for the sermon. Psalm 2, verse 11, where we read God's holy and infallible word as follows. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The theme for the sermon is rejoice with trembling. 3 points of attention. The first point, resistance. The second point, dominion. And the third point, affection. So the theme is rejoice with trembling. 3 points, resistance, dominion, and affection. Congregation, what would we think about a person that would like to drive his car without restriction and would for that reason cut the brake lines? He would say, well, that is crazy. That is foolish because it brings you in such a great danger. You will probably destroy everything, ruin your car and lose your life. And that is true. When we read in this psalm about a desire to be free, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Is that not the same thing? To have the desire in the heart to break the bands of the Lord and His service and cast away their cords from us, it will certainly end up in destruction for forever, for eternity. How foolish it is! What a blindness! To have that desire and that purpose. And this psalm too is a psalm of David. It doesn't say that in the psalm itself, but we know that for sure because we read in Acts 4, there we read that the apostles use the psalm and that they say, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. This psalm starts with a question. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And if you listen to this question, it has already the answer in it. Because it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Why would you do that? Imagine a vain thing. That's foolish. That is in vain. So why? Why does it happen? Do you know the answer? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? We see it everywhere in this world. We see it everywhere in our country. That people rage and that people imagine a vain thing. What thing do they imagine? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That is the vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. So they come together, they assemble. They rage. You could translate that word rage. They assemble in a, in a foolish, in a mad way, together, to fight against God and against His anointed. So who is that? Is it David, who is anointed to be king of Israel? No, it's not David. When you read this psalm, it becomes clear, and also from what we read from the book of Acts, that it is Christ. He is the anointed one. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Can you enter it? What is the reason? We do see that people rage. They imagine a vain thing. You can read about people that start a court case because they want to get rid of the Ten Commandments somewhere written in our country. They don't want it to be there. How foolish it is. As if we can fight against God. There's such a strong desire in the hearts of people to make our own decisions, to live our own life. We see it in many ways. We tremble when we think about a sin in our nation, that we do kill the unborn life so many times. Someone sent me an email, and you could listen, and you could listen to a sound, and that sound would be the longer when it was about more people died. So one sound was there for the First World War. There was a sound for the Second World War. And then there was a sound for how many children have been killed in the wombs of mothers. And you can almost not believe how long that lasted compared to those two terrible wars. So much blood that is shed in this world that we do shed in our nation of unborn children. Why? Why? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What is the reason? Well, we want to be our own boss. We want to live our own life. We think that we can be free in that way. And there is such a blindness that we do not see that we are enslaved to our own lusts, and that we bring the wrath of God over us. So, what is the answer? Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. It is because of sin. It is because of the rebellion, the resistance against God in our hearts. I read in a Dutch newspaper, there was a professor of a university, and he had to write a column. He was not a Christian, but he wrote a column about abortion. And he said, the moment that I saw my daughter of 12 weeks in the womb of my wife, jumping joyfully around, I knew for sure that abortion is murder, and that there is human life from the very beginning, from conception. And he explained it, how foolish it is that you can do abortion in the Netherlands till 24 weeks, and if it was a little bit longer, you would fight for the life, and a little bit shorter, it can be killed. And so he wrote it in a magazine of the university, and people became very upset. They didn't like it. They really hated it, because it was the truth. And they didn't want those bans. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. You can see it before you. There they come, the mighty people of the world. Mighty people in our nation, they might gather together to make their rules and laws according to the desire of their own heart, and against the Lord, and against His anointed. And the Lord says, it is in vain. It is ridiculous. If you would try to make it more clear how ridiculous it is, you could think about an ant trying to overthrow an elephant. And that's a weak way to compare it. People that try to make a counsel against God, the eternal God, the almighty God, the all-knowing God, He who can do anything, and we compare to God are less than a piece of dust. And now a few of those pieces of dust come together and they take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Why? How foolish it is. They want to break the bands asunder, cast away their cords from them. You can see four parts in this psalm. The first part, verse 1 till 3, describe how people rebel against God, resist God, how they do a vain thing, how they take counsel against God. And then verse 4 till 6 is showing the reaction of the Lord, the answer of the Lord, what God is saying and thinking about it. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So the Lord is mocking them in a holy way. How can they think that they can take counsel against God? And then verse 7 till 9 is showing whom Christ is, the Son of God, the Anointed One. There it is revealed, His kingship over everything. And the last three verses is a call to be wise, to kiss the Son, to flee to Him for salvation. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. It is so ridiculous what people do. They think that they are powerful and in control. They think that they can have their plans and do their things, and they do not acknowledge God. They forget about Him. And just in one moment, God is changing their whole counsel, turning it around in another direction. He can do that. Why can we be so discouraged? Well, we know from the Word that God is so able, and He really did so many times in history turn things in the most dark night of world history, according to His counsel, although the kings came together and the rulers to take counsel against God. But everything happens according to His counsel. And the Lord has them in derision. He's mocking them in a holy way. There are so many examples also in Scripture. how the Lord is in control, how he has his work in this world history. If you think about the Lord Jesus Christ came in this world and Herod tried to kill him as a young child and he could not. If you think about how the people of Israel is protected by the Lord in Egypt, where Pharaoh, and we can say the devil, wanted to destroy the people of the covenant of God so that Christ would not be born. And the Lord, he had his counsel, and Pharaoh ended up to drown in the Red Sea. Oh, what a foolish thing that he thought that he could fight against the Almighty God. And what a blindness while God was showing his power in the miracles that happened. So, what a deep lesson there is. Sin is rebellion against God. And when we continue in that rebellion, it makes not only our guilt more, but it makes us also harder and more blind, that we don't see the things like they really are. And we do not by nature. Those kings and rulers do not see how the things really are. That there is a God who is in control and ruling things in this world. And oh, his anger, his wrath is against them. Then shall he speak on them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And you tremble when you think about that wrath of the Lord. We remember that history, how Haman planned to destroy the people of the Jews, and how he made gallows to kill his enemy. And the Lord had him in derision. He mocked about that plan and he turned it all. In the other, just in a total other direction, that Haman ended up to die on the gallows that he made himself. It is as if God is laughing in a holy way about the foolishness of the enemies of God and of his people and his church. His counsel will happen. Oh, and that the Lord would show his mercy to us as a nation in our days. Let us all plead with the Lord and confess our guilt before God like Daniel did. Lord, we have sinned against thee. That we include ourselves, that we are ashamed about our sins, and there is reason to be ashamed. But at the same time, let us rejoice in the Lord, in how great he is. Rejoice with trembling. Can that go together? Certainly it does. In the heart of a child of God, to rejoice in the Lord, to see that he is in control, that all things are under his dominion. There is resistance in every natural heart of man. At the same time, we know that all things are under his dominion. And it has to come to the point in our life that we will acknowledge that. Oh, that we will bow before the Lord in guilt and shame, knowing whom we are before him, but also in faith, knowing what is in Christ for such a sinner. So yeah, when you read this psalm, and when you read about those kings of the earth, and the rulers that take counsel together, you might also think, well, that's really foolish that they do that. But I have a question tonight for you. Did the Lord show you that this is a picture of how you are by nature and I am? That we want to be our own king. That we want to take our own counsel. And that by nature it is against the Lord and against His anointed. And oh, what a miracle when God is changing that. And when He is bringing us under the dominion of Christ, so that the Lord Jesus is King. And that is freedom. That is real freedom. When Christ is ruling my heart by His Word and Spirit. Oh, it is such a terrible lie of the devil. That he tells to young people, to children, to adults, to you and me, if you do your own thing, then you are free. There might be a boy here, a girl, a child, an adult that has thoughts. Oh, if I only dared to turn away, could do my own thing, live my own life. And that the devil will say to be under the dominion of Christ is such a sad situation. It's a terrible lie. You know it, don't you? Oh, is there a young person that is struggling with that question? Is it really a joyful service? Can that be serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling? Is there a rejoicing in the service of the Lord? Yes, there is. There is a rejoicing that you will find nowhere. Oh, if you think about it, you know, this is the only way to have thanksgiving. If you know this rejoicing, then your life will be changed in a thanksgiving's life. There will be that gratitude out of the knowledge of Christ and His saving work in your heart. But let's return for a moment to that person that is struggling with that question. Is that really a joyful service? Is it really something that is to be desired? Is it not so that there are many things that you are not allowed to do when you are a Christian, when you are born again, and things that you have to do? Well, you know, you are free when you belong to Christ, because you with His blood, then you are free. And in a certain way you can say you may do what you want, because God is changing your will, and so you want to do what He is saying in His Word. And you know, when you don't know Christ, you are bound. You are bound in sin, enslaved in sin. You are a slave of yourself. And that will destroy you. Like the person that is driving that car with the brake lines that are cut off, that person will destroy himself. And if you live without the saving knowledge of Christ, if you live a way that you try to break those bands, to cast away those cords of the service of the Lord, you will end up in destruction and you are not free. You have to be bound to Christ to be free. Like a fish has to be in the water to live and to be free. So there are two men, let's say two men, around 60 years old. They grew up here around Grand Rapids. They grew up in the church. And they took different directions in the life. One of the two, by the grace of the Lord, was kept in the service of the Lord and born again by true faith, living with Christ. He got a family, got children, grandchildren, and he served in the church. And he grew older. He experienced the blessing of having children, grandchildren, to serve the Lord. And the other one, he followed the sinful desires of the natural heart. He came in alcohol, and he spent his money for women. He was addicted. He ruined his health. When you would see him, looks like an old man, spent all his strength in sin. You see how foolish it is. Why? Why do the heathen rage? If you talk to him, he said, I spent all my money to women and drink and alcohol. And now I've lost all my strength. I cannot even enjoy those things anymore. I've ruined my life. What a difference to know grace or not. To be ruled by your own deceitful and wicked heart, or to be ruled by a gracious Savior, to be under His dominion, to serve the Lord with fear. With fear, what does it mean? And rejoice with trembling? Is it not true that to know the love of Christ will remove the fear out of your heart? To be under His dominion? Yes. That's what John is writing in his letters. But at the same time, when you serve the Lord, when you rejoice in His service, in whom He is, and how He reveals Himself in Christ, well, when you know the Lord, you will understand that there is a fear. God is so holy. He is so righteous. You know God, and in the light of God, you know yourself. You fear, how can I live before such a holy God while I'm such a depraved person in myself? It's not a fear of being afraid of God. No. More to be afraid of yourself. O Lord, be merciful unto me. You rejoice in the Lord, but you tremble about yourself, whom you are so weak, so inclined to fall. So the only answer is to flee to the Son and to kiss Him, so that He will keep you, that He will save you. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Zion is the hill where Jerusalem is, the temple, where God is living graciously in the midst of His people. And so that is the hill showing the presence of the Lord. God says there is a King, and I have set my King. So this King has authority. And the word said you could translate with anointed. You know that the kings, priests, prophets in the Old Testament were anointed with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And Christ is such king by the Lord, anointed with the Holy Spirit. We know how that happened. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, came upon him. And so he is there with that godly authority. And then in this psalm we read how the Lord Jesus Christ himself is explaining, declaring, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. He is the King. He is ruling the world history. All things are under his dominion. He is in control. There cannot happen anything in the United States if the Lord would not allow it. Yeah, we can tremble when we think about ourselves. We can tremble when we see what we deserve. We can tremble and have to admit that the Lord is righteous if he would take the candlestick, the light of the gospel, away from our nation. But we should not tremble for man. We should not be afraid about what man can do. They can do nothing. The Lord will not allow it to happen. He is in control. He has set his king. Like the Lord Jesus has said to his disciples, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. All power. It's not any man that has the power, but God has the power. Our trust for our nation is not in man, should not be in man. We know that they are men, fragile. They can die any moment. They cannot do anything in themselves. It does not mean that those that are in a position of control are not accountable for what they do. They certainly are. But our hope should be in God. And we should pray that the Lord will use man for a return to him and for the glory of his name. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord has given his son. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. What does it mean? This day have I begotten thee. So Christ is the only begotten Son of God. This day? Which day? Well, this day refers to the fact that God is the eternal God. So he is begotten from eternity. He has always been the Son of God. In a way that we cannot comprehend. In a way that Scripture says he is begotten, and we have to understand that as from eternity. Has always been the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this triune God. And Christ came in this world, and he overcame sin and Satan, and he ascended to heaven. And he told his disciples, unto me is given all power. He has the authority. He has the right to rule. What a miracle that the things of this nation and the things of this world are not in the hands of men, that the hands of this Savior, this merciful Son of God, oh, do you know Him? That is the important question. At the end of this psalm, that we have to be wise. We have to kiss the Son. So there's something of, you could say, affection of the heart towards Christ that's needed in our life. Can you say that that is there in your heart, children, young people? Do you love Christ? Do you know His love for you personally? You need it. Otherwise you cannot die. Otherwise you cannot live. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 276, stanza 1 till 4. 276, stanza 1. Thou, O Lord, art God alone, everlasting is thy throne. 276, stanza 1 till 4. Congregation, in a very special way, in a very clear way, have the heathen raised against Christ. You could think about a situation that in the darkness of the night, Judas and the soldiers went to catch the Lord Jesus. An innocent man, someone who never did anything wrong, who is the Holy One of God. And they took him. They went with swords and sticks, and they bound him they raged against the anointed, and they brought him. And later on he was standing before Pilate. He was sent to Herod, to the heathen, and they raged against the anointed of God. And it seemed that they succeeded. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross. It seemed that he was hanging there powerless, and that the Jews got what they wanted, to get rid of him and of his name. They came together and they took counsel. It seemed that they succeeded. And they came together and they took counsel. They wanted the sepulchre to be sealed. They wanted soldiers there. And they told them to tell lies after he resurrected. What? Religious people? The Jews? Why? Did they really think that they could fight against God? What a foolish thing. Oh, read about the power of this King and Savior. He who conquered death and devil and sin and is now sitting at the right hand of God, that great high priest and king, and will come in glory to judge. Read about his power, his authority. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. There's such a power in him, in his work. And they come from all nations, from Africa, from China, from Europe, from America, to bow. And if not, if they in their blindness and foolishness continue to fight against the anointed, against Christ, oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Vessel from clay. And just one blow and it's falling in pieces and dust. There's nothing left over. Oh, there's destruction for those. And like Pharaoh, fight against God and his anointed. I tremble if I think about the possibility that there is someone here, that there might be some who fight against God, against his anointed, who take counsel together or in their hearts. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Do you think you can succeed against God? Certainly not. No one has ever fought against the Lord and had peace. That's what Isaiah is prophesying. That is what is experienced. That is true. And why would you? If you think about this glorious King, this merciful King, if you think about his deep compassion, he is a high priest and can be touched with our infirmities. That's what the Word is teaching us. You feel your infirmities? Come to Him. With all your infirmities, with all your resistance, with the coldness of your heart, come to Him. Lay it before the Lord. Be ashamed. confess and admit, O Lord, I cannot change my heart. Oh, that unbelief. Oh, that doubt inside. Oh, that love to sin. Oh, all those evil desires. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be wise. What is that, to be wise? The fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. How can I? Where do I get a strength to serve the Lord? Where could a change for our nation come from? Would our hope be in man? No. Here is the way. Kiss the Son. Let there be that affection to Him. Lest He be angry, kiss the Son. So, to kiss, what does it mean? It is a way that is showing humiliation, or to humble yourself to a king, to kiss his feet, his hand, to kiss the king. To kiss is also a way, to adore the king, to show affection. So the service of the Lord is not an outward slavish service, to perform duties, to do things. No, it's something of the heart. If the heart is not involved, it's useless. It's empty. It is in vain. You remember that the Lord told the people, stop to bring your sacrifices. I cannot bear it anymore. Your heart is not with me. Oh, kiss the Son. Look at Christ, crucified, resurrected, ascended to heaven. See that love. Oh, that He gave Himself for such a wicked enemy as I am. Such a dirty sinner. He gave His precious blood to wash my sins away. Oh, I love Him because He loved me first. That's the only way to serve the Lord. It is to kiss the Son, that He will wash and cleanse, that His love will be shed abroad in our hearts. How is it with you? Do you know what it means to kiss the Son? To kiss the Lord Jesus? Maybe there is someone that says, I have no interest, no desire. So many other things that have my interest. How terrible it is. If you will have to experience the wrath of the Lamb of God, that wrath of punishment that will certainly destroy His enemies, because sin is the most terrible thing. It is dishonoring God, and that is the worst you can think about. Dishonoring God. And that will stop. Oh, that it might stop in the repentance of your heart. Conversion. So that here you start to hate sin and flee from it. Repent about it. Be washed from it. And one day you will be totally free from it by His grace to be with Him. Otherwise, it will stop in your destruction.
because God will get all the honor, the glory and the praise. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, just a little, and you will perish from the way, right where you are. Oh, I cannot bear the thought that that would happen to you. But a little, what if it will be poured out in full strength? You cannot even comprehend what that means to be forever under that wrath of God. Well, there is a way. Well, Christ took it upon himself for all those that would flee to him, that he loved from eternity. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That you give up to do it, because, and in that way, you see, he did it. And you surrender to him. And you sink on that rock of ages that is blessed forever in the most deep way. Oh, that we would see that work of the Spirit in our days, in our nation, in the hearts of young people, that it would start here in Providence, in Grand Rapids. Oh, and that it would spread all over the country. That's not impossible. God did not change. Oh, let us pray that he will do it today, in our days. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We can only stammer about that blessing. That is such a deep fulfillment. Here experienced by faith, although partly, once, forever, perfectly, and by sight, to see him, to see Christ like he is, that is heaven, to see his love, with which he has loved from eternity and gave himself as a prize, as a ransom for many. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness. Lord, we cannot understand that thou art so long-suffering for us as a nation, so forbearing, so patient, how we sin so much. Lord, that thou did not yet make an end. We pray, Lord, that thou would work in the hearts of the president-elect, vice president-elect, O Lord, grant wisdom, and all the leaders, all that are in position of authority as judges, as leaders in Michigan, in the United States, in Grand Rapids. Lord, they cannot do it. They have no wisdom. They have no strength. If thou would not provide, we beseech thee that thou would do it. Lord, and that thou would bind it upon our hearts, that we will be continually at thy throne of grace for our nation. O Lord, that the honor of thy name would be there. We pray, Lord, help us. Forgive our many sins. Be merciful unto us. Bless thy word, that it will be in our hearts to meditate upon it, so that we will experience that power. It's a godly word. It's a living word. It does what we cannot do. Because the Spirit is using the word, we pray, Lord, that thou would do it in all hearts. Protect us when we go home, and in this night, bring us together tomorrow morning in thy house. Lord, hear us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.